On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Welcome to the Bechdelcast. Here we are again. We're talking about movies about girls. My name is Jamie.
My name is Caitlin.
Here we are.
Here we are. Thanks for tuning in.
I don't think we've ever introduced it that way before.
No.
That wasn't the right way to do it.
Up.
Well, we're talking about girls in movies, and sometimes they're treated real mean.
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Usually, though, they are.
Usually, though, they are. But sometimes they get to wear a tank top, and you can see the shape of their nipples. That's in scary movies.
This podcast is inspired by the Bechdel test. If you don't know what it is, I'll try to say it really, really fast.
Go.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yell.
Go. You're like clenching a bottle of
Hennessy. Yes, I am.
Like we're in a ludicrous video or something.
I'm going to reward myself with a swig of it as soon as I do a very good job describing what the Bechdel test is.
Okay, ready? Go.
It's a test that is applied to movies. A thing will pass the test if there are two women talking to each other about something other than a man.
I love
it. They have to have names.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We changed the
rules.
The
characters have to have
names. We changed the rules.
Yes.
We used to be like, we're firm on this rule now.
Yeah.
We're firm.
All right. Hear that? Do you hear it? This is the lid going off.
Oh, my God. You're so brave.
It's actually not that bad.
I do feel like we should maybe, like, just rehash the date we went on over the weekend.
Yes.
Really quick.
Let's do that. Oh, you also have to tell your bus story.
Because and I also wanted to say that I bought tickets to a monster truck rally for just me on Saturday. I'm going to treat myself.
Very nice.
I've never been to a monster truck rally.
Is it like for work? Do you have to write a piece on it or are you just
to get someone to pay. I wasn't going to pay for it.
Sure.
But I was like, I could drive to Anaheim. I've got the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see a monster truck rally.
That's terrific.
Yeah. I think I'll probably get a new boyfriend there. Seems like a good place to scout.
Yeah.
But we did go to a place in, was it, where, what
it was
area?
In Koreatown.
Okay, called Cafe Jack.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been there.
You've been there?
Really? Oh, it is.
Sorry.
Okay, can we bring our guest into the discussion?
Because
I would love to hear. Okay, so our guest today is Paige Weldon. She's wonderful. She's a writer. She's a comedian. And she's been to Cafe Jack?
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Thanks for being here.
What's going on? Wait, to Cafe Jack?
Yeah, we did. Because we did the Titanic episode last week.
Because you heard it was a boat.
We didn't know it was
a boat. I did not know that part about it. I thought it was like a swanky, cool, like loungy
It's
club
crazy how
bar
none
thing.
Of those words describe what it
not
is.
Not at all.
No.
It is. It's like even worse than a dive somehow.
Were there other people there when you went?
There were very few other people there.
Okay.
Same.
Yeah.
With us.
It was, yeah, I think that there might have been people there, but they also might have worked there. It wasn't clear.
I think.
It was freezing in there. It was freezing.
There was one other group of diners there with us. It's like an Asian fusion restaurant that's shaped like Titanic, and it.
There's a lot of laser jet printer pictures from the Titanic movie framed around the restaurant. My favorite part was they have, if it's like an intimate, like we started in one of these intimate booths, but it was like sticky everywhere. So we moved
to a much greasier.
Greasier, but there are pictures of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
So. But they had these little like rooms, those little weird compartments. And then there was one of them where there was just like an unfinished wall. It was just like drywall. And then nailed to it was a poster for Curious George.
Yeah.
Like the one that came out in 2006 and it was framed. And that was my favorite one.
I went there on a date because we heard there was frozen yogurt. I received a
was
text
there?
That was, would you like to get froyo on this at this restaurant that's shaped like a boat? And I was like, I would love to.
Yeah.
And then we got there and we went into led us into one of those rooms. It was like huge. And there was just two of us and we were very uncomfortable. And then we moved out into another area and I felt like the woman was upset that we did that. But there was no frozen yogurt.
Oh no.
There was
no,
just
there
smoothies
wasn't.
And stuff.
We got sushi.
Caitlin's theory is that they order sushi from a different restaurant and bring it to you.
That feels very true.
The pictures did not line up. We got the Titanic roll and the Jack Rose roll. The Titanic roll in the picture was blue. What we ate was not blue.
It could have also just been like poorly printed menus.
That, it was
like,
totally
had discoloration.
Blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what would even be blue on a sushi roll?
I thought maybe sprinkles.
Okay. Well, either way, we went on a fun little date to Cafe Jack.
We did.
And we had a great time.
Good date.
We are here to talk about another movie that's not Titanic, unfortunately. I just wish we could talk about it for every episode.
I feel like we'll probably do it again.
Yeah, we might.
There's more to be said.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that I wanted to say and I didn't say, but we'll get to that later on another Titanic episode. For now, we are here with Paige and we are talking about the movie Heathers.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. So, Paige, tell us about, like, why'd you pick this movie? What it means to you? When did you first see it?
I picked it because I've seen it, like, a zillion times. It's one of my favorite movies in high school. Growing up, I just always loved it, and it was just one of the first ones that came to mind.
Yeah. So you first saw it when you were in high school?
Mm-hmm. Maybe middle school. That was
yeah.
pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw it first in, like, early high school, and yeah. I remember thinking it was, like, the fucking coolest movie ever.
Yeah.
I thought I had also seen it before, mm-hmm. and then I rewatched it, and nothing was familiar about it at all. Like, part of me thinks that I might have seen an episode of that cartoon, I think it's called Recess, where they have all the different Ashleys, and I think I was confusing that for the movie Heathers.
It was very different than I remembered. Like, watching it, however, I guess almost 10 years later, is like watching a totally different movie, and I didn't like it as much this time. It, like... made me feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I used to think it was the dopest thing ever, and I wanted to, you know, kiss
kill
Christian
people?
Slater on his mouth. Yeah, kill my oppressors, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Christian Slater is very charming.
Yes.
He's terrifying.
He is.
So scary.
And so, wait, when's the last time you saw it?
Probably would have watched it, like, maybe a couple years ago. But okay. I feel like I've watched it so many times in my life that I don't think I ever really even had a chance to get enough distance from it that I'd rewatch it and feel differently. Mm. I just always felt like this is the best.
Caitlin did not like it.
I don't like, now I don't know because I started rewatching it again.
Don't be influenced.
Today.
It's okay.
And I was like, you know, it's the first like half isn't, it, I feel like it falls apart at a certain point and then I have a really hard time connecting with any of the characters. And by the end, like, no one is redeemable for me. But there are some, like, specific things I like about it. For example, I like that there's the running joke that anytime someone is, like, addressing a Heather, they all know exactly which one she's talking about.
Sure, yeah.
I like that. I like a few different lines of dialogue. Like,
yeah, the dialogue is so fun. Like,
well, the movie has its own slang.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It'll be very. Mm-hmm. Very what? Just very.
But you know what they mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know exactly what they mm-hmm. mean. I very know what they mean.
Oh. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
You did it.
One of my favorite lines of dialogue is, did you have a brain tumor for breakfast?
Mm.
So fun.
I love
classic.
It.
So I like a few different, like, some of the running jokes are good and fun, but overall, I think my main problem with it is that I just don't find any of the characters redeemable enough for me to connect to the story, which I know is kind of the point.
Right.
Like, everyone's terrible in this movie.
And I don't think Veronica is terrible.
See, I think she is. And I know that I'm probably wrong about this. And I took to Facebook and I said, hey, why?
Decimated, baby.
People hated
decimated
me.
Decimated on the
I
book.
Was, and I tried to pose the question sincerely. And it, I think, did not come off sounding sincere. But I was like, hey, just curious, why do you like this movie, you idiots?
Yeah, I think that was the part where you lost
me. Yeah, I would have a hard time answering.
No, I left out the idiots part. I was just like, why do you like this movie? And then I think it probably sounded very snarky, and then everyone got very mad at me, and they're like, it's so brilliant, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think that Veronica's a bad person. She just made me very sad a lot of the movie. And I think she's, like, not... She's, like, dumb. She, like, there are so many parts of this movie where it's like, okay, this script has a very specific logic of how this world works. But there were some times where I'm like, this girl is keeping an active diary of a number of felonies she committed. Like, what an insane thing to do. She could not be acting more guilty at school.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why, like, high school is the ideal time to watch it, because you're like, I am also this dumb.
Right.
That's what I would do, too. And I feel like that's, like, that's maybe why it's hard to like her, because she's a stupid teenager.
Yeah, as someone who...
Yeah, it's like when I watched it in high school, I didn't think she was dumb at all. I thought she was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was like, of course she's keeping a diary.
Yeah.
she means to do this.
Not only that, she's seeing these friends of hers who are behaving horribly. They're like really mean. They're bullies, basically.
They play
and
croquet.
She's not... Oh, my God. There are parts... when I, like, think they're being mean to each other, but because I don't have a very good understanding of how croquet works, I'm like, I think they're being mean, but I don't know how this...
Hey, can I try the summary this time?
I've never done a summary before. Please do.
Okay. So Heathers is a movie about four friends, three Heathers, one Veronica. Veronica is our pro tag. She's not like the other girls. She's brunette. And she hangs out with the Heathers.
One of the Heathers is brunette. I just want to say.
But isn't Shannon Daugherty? She's like technically like a red.
You're right.
She's Auburn.
She's Auburn. Yeah, and she's also like the most bulimic. Which that scene where Winona Ryder makes Shannon Daugherty throw up, I almost wish we got to see it. Anyways, so they're like the most popular girls in school. They you know, own everybody. And then Veronica meets Christian Slater. Don't remember his name.
JD.
JD, of course, who is like pretty much a standard 90s trench coat killer. Who draws her into a very toxic, weird relationship, and they start to kill everyone they don't like at the high school. And it's a metaphor for something.
Yeah. When they're framing it as suicides, though. So they have to keep up this idea that the people they're murdering have actually committed suicide.
Right. There's one thing I thought was interesting, just to, like, if we're just jumping right into the gender stuff, is that the girls and boys at this high school are all equally stupid, which is nice, because it would be very easy to be like, oh, like, you know, the Heathers are so vapid and insecure and all this stuff. But like the guys, like at any high school, are just as bad, and just express it in different ways. So I liked that. That was cool.
Yeah.
Everyone's dumb.
Everyone equal parts dumb.
Including the adults.
Yeah, the adults are very dumb. There are those a few scenes where, like, the faculty are meeting about what to do about these students' suicides, and the one's like, let's just all hold hands and sing about love. And then everyone else is like, shut up, you dumb hippie.
Yeah. That was weird.
The reason that I don't really like Veronica is that she's seeing her friends display, like, this horrible behavior, being bullies, and, like, the Martha Dunstock character, they're very mean to her, and she sees this happening, and you can tell she's uncomfortable with it, but she still is very, like, complicit in this behavior. And
but that's like high school.
That's what high school is you, like, decide who is gonna give you the most, like, social cachet.
Yeah.
So, like, it reminds me it's sort of similar to, like, Freaks and Geeks, like how Lindsay Weir starts hanging out with those cool kids and, like, stops talking to her friend, and she, like, knows that, like, she doesn't really know if it's, like, the morally right thing to do. Obviously, this is a more, like, cartoonish extreme version, but I get that, of, like, you have people maybe you were friends with when you were younger, and you know
totally
that it's wrong to ditch them, but you also desperately want to be cool. And being friends with the Heathers allows Veronica to be cool and go to college parties and do whatever she thinks she's supposed to be doing to be, like, a cool kid.
Yeah, like, watching those scenes with Martha,
yeah,
those are, like, so hard to watch, because, I don't know, like, there is definitely a time in my high school experience where I could see myself doing that. And even though it's, like, I don't think I'm a bad person, but I think that, you know, if any... I don't know. I just go back and I'm like, man, if Samantha Honeywell's approval was on the line, I might be a real jackass to someone.
Yeah, and you might even regret it immediately, but you would do it.
Right, because it's like the immediate social survival or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard to watch, but I think it, for me, it was like, because it was real.
Yeah.
It hurt my feelings.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a wonderful person who's never been mean to anyone.
Kevin, you're amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Honestly, congrats.
That's huge.
Definitely not true, but like I've been a dick to people, but I still just, despite what I know about like people wanting to fit in and be with the popular kids and do anything to elevate their social status, especially in high school, I just like couldn't find Veronica to be redeemable at all. And maybe it's just because I hadn't seen it as a younger person and like just watched it recently. But oh God,
she's supposed to be what, 16 or 17?
I think they're juniors.
I don't know. I felt for Veronica. I mean, she's an idiot. She's the dumbest at certain parts. Like the when JD's, you know, convincing her to kill a second set of people. They've already killed Heather. And he's like, no, but this one is a joke.
These are German bullets.
I was like,
but the first one, he also
up.
Makes it look like he was kidding and it was an accident, too.
Right. So, but it's like, does she really?
It's two things. It's one, I think she probably at least partially knows that it's real.
Yeah.
But like, it's allowing her to have like an excuse. Like, she can be like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, I feel like she does kind of play dumb because I think she does potentially maybe want them dead, or at least she said so in her diary.
Well, she's also doing the same thing with JD that she does with the Heathers, where it's just next day you're like, now this is what I think is cool, so I'm going to do whatever this person wants so I can keep hanging out with this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she does kind of hate them. I hate all my friends.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite.
Oh,
I don't really like my friends.
There's that. And right after the first Heather dies, she's like, oh my God, I killed my best friend. And JD's like, and your worst enemy. And she's like, same difference.
Drama.
Wow.
Drama.
I don't know. I feel like I was reading through my notes on the way over here and I was like, oh, I was slowly unraveling as I watched this movie because I did watch this movie in a bus station. So that was the Wi-Fi in the bus station was great.
Oh, hey.
But I didn't have my you know, like you look at something you wrote and you're like, oh, my butt was really sore when I was writing this. So there, I don't know. Like this movie came out in 1988. And it's weird. I don't know. There were a lot of parts of this movie that really like made me feel terrible, and dare I say, triggered.
I could see how many scenes in this movie would be triggering.
I hate using that word seriously, but I think that might have been what was happening because it was like two things. This came out in 88, and Christian Slater's pretty much playing the idealized school shooter, like the fucking crazy, full-on wearing a trench coat, talking about, you know, this psychotic bullshit about you know, society and why everyone should just be fucking eradicated, man, and whatever. And it's not anyone's fault, but it's just weird to watch this movie and see and like with the knowledge of how many similar things happened in like the 20 years after that movie came out. And like there were plenty of movies I feel like that came out that were very like teenager destructive stuff like that in like the 80s and 90s. But it was just, I don't know, like certain things that he was saying, I was like, this feels like some Columbine shit. Like it just didn't. At the time it was like, ah, that's funny. But I didn't, I don't know. It was just weird to think about.
The scenes that I thought that you were maybe going to talk about regarding being triggered multiple scenes where a man is forcing himself on a woman and she's like violently fighting back and he's just like very aggressively trying to kiss her and or have sex with her. It happens, I think, at least three times with like three different sets of characters.
That scene where Heather gives the blowjob to impress the college boy is so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
And then afterwards she like takes a drink of water and spits it on the mirror and it's like, oh dude.
Yuck.
Mm. Yeah.
But that one was generally, I was just like, oh, I'll be sad. I know she's going to die.
I'm having a really hard time processing this movie in terms of like what we talk about on this podcast. Usually so far the movies have been very like, oh, this movie objectively treats the women bad. Like, there's pretty much no question about it. Or, like, this movie does a pretty good job. This one, I, like, don't really
I genuinely don't know
how to, what to say about it or how to discuss it. Because part of me is like, okay, it boils down to this group of women who are very terrible to each other. They're best friends, but they also, like, hate each other and they bully each other. So that's, like, not a fun thing to see on screen, or, like, that's not a great way for women to be portrayed, because that is a huge trope where women are, like, women-on-women crime or hatred or violence or just, like, meanness is, but, like, never great. But I also think I'm missing the point when I watch this movie.
I think that's the point. Yeah. That it's shitty.
Yeah. And everyone in this movie is mean. Like, I don't know. That didn't bother me too much. Like, I feel like, I don't know, like, the scene where Heather goes down and the college boy, like, it's written so that we know that it's not being endorsed. Like, it looks wrong.
Yeah, like, nothing anyone does in this movie is being endorsed as a right thing to do, except maybe the ending that she cuts him out of her life and
like,
nice
reaches out to Martha.
Oh, my God, when Martha speaks. Her voice is so soft.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened to her?
I guess that's
moment.
Part of that why I nice, don't... Yeah. I mean, just, like, watching so many... Like, scene after scene that's just hard to watch of, like, people being horrible to each other, I think is just a big part of why I don't like this movie. Just because I don't like that type of
Here's a fun
movie.
Thing they do a lot in this movie that made me laugh. Constantly, when Veronica and JD are about to kill someone, it's usually in the dead of night... And they're always yelling, like, yelling in the kitchen of someone they're about to murder. It happens, like, three separate times. And one time it's a dream. But for the most part, they just walk in speaking at full volume. Like, so what should we do? Do you want to put bleach in the coffee? What do you want to do? And then they immediately, like, that genuinely made me laugh. Also, steampunk alert.
Oh.
Winona Ryder.
I didn't notice.
It's a reach. But Winona Ryder wears a monocle for a lot of this movie. Whenever she's writing in her journal.
Yes, that is pretty steampunky.
Wow, super true.
This is our episodely reminder that we do not endorse steampunk or steampunk culture.
Speak for yourself, Jamie. I love it.
I told you about. Okay, so this was actually the weekend when I saw this movie, when I saw that steampunk demonstration taking place in San Francisco, and I almost killed myself on the street. I was so mad. I think I've already mentioned this in another episode, but the guy was wearing, like, a suede vest and goggles, and he had these accordion stilts. It was horrifying.
Oh, you did mention that in an opera.
I know.
That does
but
sound
this
horrible.
It was really bad. Yeah. I've got pics. I've got pics, but that was upsetting.
Just another trigger.
I'm so triggered.
Hashtag triggered.
But I do, this is a tough movie because you don't want to overthink what is very clearly like a satire black comedy kind of thing. But, I mean, Veronica and JD's relationship is insane.
Yeah.
Like, the way that it unfolds and, like, how close it is to, like, real life abusive, horrible relationships. Like, there were some points in the movie where, because the guy who wrote this, his name is Daniel Waters, straight white man. And he was pretty young when he wrote it. He's like in his 20s, to the point where I'm like, does he fully realize, like, what he's doing? Like, there were certain lines that, you know, I was just like, oh my God, like, it just is like a punch in the gut where Christian Slater is saying things like, you'll be back and shit like that. What else is there? Oh, where he basically says, like, you knew, or, like, deep down what we were doing, which arguably could be true, but also could be an extremely high-level gaslighting move.
What's upsetting is that you realize that he's just been doing this for, like, his entire adolescence.
Yeah.
He just is going to different high schools, and that's why he's like, you'll be back, because he's probably done that to other girls at other high schools.
Right. And it's like, it's...
Oh, there's another allusion to that, too, where when they're writing the first suicide note for Heather, he says something, and she's like, oh, that's good. Have you done this before? And first the audience is like, well, but I don't know. And then we're like, oh, yeah, he probably has.
Well, I think also a really interesting scene in the movie that I forgot about is when you meet his dad when she goes over to their house and you're like, fuck.
His dad's like straight up like murdered his mom.
Yeah.
Like that. That is a weird reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You find out, I think, the next scene where you meet him that he is like basically coming in his pants about the demolition of a hotel that he really wanted to be demolished. Yeah. And he's like, we got those bitches. And then he like shows a VHS tape of the hotel falling over. And he's like, oh, this guy's also a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is an interesting movie move to be like, listen, Christian Slater comes by this honestly. So maybe give him a chance. It's like, no, he's still terrible. But you know.
But that's what makes the movie interesting is that, you know, objectively, you're obviously like run away from this guy. But it wouldn't be interesting if there were no intriguing qualities about him that make her like keep going back.
For sure. For instance, his dad is crazy and he is hot. Yeah. Sometimes that is not.
He also has a motorcycle.
He does have a motorcycle.
I feel like that's pretty crucial.
There's one line where he says, all I need is like tequila in my sacks. I wrote that down because I was like, if someone said that to me, I'd be very wet.
Yeah, I would come immediately.
Yep.
Especially in high school. It would have really got me.
Tequila in my sacks? Come
some
on.
Some Bach. He loves classical music. He's a great guy.
He's so weird. Yeah. He's not like the other boys.
Well, and that's
he's
what, like, not. Part of what divides her from her friends is that they're all like, he's weird. And she's like, yeah, that's
I like
cool.
It.
You guys just don't get it.
And he's poised as being, until he demonstrates these, like, very homicidal qualities partway through the movie. Before then, you're like, yeah, I can totally see why she likes him.
Totally, yeah.
There's
Do you guys think that if she didn't meet JD, she would have just wrote out the rest of high school being friends with the Heathers?
I would imagine so.
I don't know. I mean, I could see her getting... She seems pretty frustrated at the beginning of the movie, but maybe she would have found a less destructive... I don't know, she seems like so willing to go with whoever's influence that if she met someone who was like not a psychopath that she connected with, maybe things would have turned out fine. Yeah. But it seemed like she was kind of done with her friends at the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah. She was in a vulnerable place where this guy showing up, it was really easy to just...
Right. Like that could have been anyone. That could
I mean, the thing is, I feel like, you know, when you watch high school movies or you think about high school in general, you think about like the groups... Like, people who actually did things, as opposed to, like, I really relate to Veronica because I, like, didn't do anything in high school. I just was, like, a person. And so that's the person that's super easy to just, like, latch on to different groups or people and make that your personality. I think that that's a really interesting thing. But I do think that if she didn't meet JD, she probably would have just stayed friends with them and been miserable until she graduated.
Well, if it's anything like the movie Mean Girls, which is basically a 2000s version of this movie, they're all juniors. Yeah. But when they become seniors, they're like, oh, we're better than this now.
I remember when Mean Girls
came
out.
We're not plastics.
I was like, you guys, this is just Heathers. Yeah. You guys don't know. I thought it was very cool.
There's another movie that came out in between the two, Jawbreaker, that I feel like is quite similar to this. Did you see it?
No.
It's about a movie. Whoa. How do you talk again? I'm apparently already a little drunk from this Hennessy. It's about this group of girlfriends who like pretend kidnap their friend and like put a jawbreaker in her mouth and like tape it so that she doesn't talk because they're like playing some trick on her or something, but it's all very benign until she chokes on the jawbreaker and dies, and then
Hell
they have
yeah.
to figure out like what to do with her.
Chills.
Dude,
I don't remember what happens after that because it's been a very long time since I've seen it. But
has anyone seen the Slender Man documentary yet?
No.
You gotta watch it. We can't do a Bechdel test episode on it because it really happened. But it's about these two 12-year-old girls who are like, we believe in Slenderman, and they murder their friend.
Oh, I know the story,
In the name of Slenderman, it, you know, for all its faults, it absolutely passes the Bechdel test, you know? Because there's a lot of police interviews where they're just talking about the Slenderman murders. Well, I guess Slenderman.
Well, Slenderman is a man.
Yeah.
But is he a real man? Mm. Does it count if he's a made-up mythological man?
I don't know, but I didn't realize that young girls were horny for Slenderman, and that's part of why they kill for him. Which I was like, that's a whole nother level. And also that all these murders tie back to a website called Creepypasta. That's great. That I like.
I didn't know that detail about it.
I've seen the documentary twice. It's crazy. It's very good. Anyways, I wanted to talk about the guy who wrote the movie.
Yeah.
Because he weirdly has not done a lot since.
Heathers was the first movie he ever wrote. He's written some other stuff. The biggest it got was Batman Returns in 92. Hmm. And that is the one of the Tim Burton ones. Which is one, which I would like to say is 1 degree removed from Joel Schumacher directed another Batman movies. That's our Schumacher check for this episode.
I like how each episode we're piling on more and more.
More rituals.
Things. We got to mention Titanic. We got to mention Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher. There's a lot of things. The last thing he wrote and directed was in 2014, and it was called Vampire Academy. So, sort of a fall from grace for our pal Daniel Waters. Which is interesting because, like, Heathers is such a specific movie, and like the way it's written, it almost seems like he could have had like a John Hughes-y kind of career where it's like, oh, this is the guy that writes the
like subversive teen dark comedy.
Yeah. And then the end game is Vampire Academy, which, you know, maybe I shouldn't be talking. Maybe it's an amazing film.
It could be. We should watch it.
Here's the thing. It most likely is not. Okay, well, there wasn't a point to that, but except for, I don't know, I'm always like a little bit leery of a straight white guy writing a movie about young women.
Oh, for sure.
Just because it's so easy to conflate fact and fiction if you're returning to, you know, the horniest, most horrible part of your life. And then trying to put yourself in the mind of the people you wanted to have sex with just seems like a real challenge. But I don't know. How did you feel? I mean, I felt like he did. I don't know. Like, this movie's hard.
It's very hard
to talk about in this context.
It is. I am also very wary of any, like, straight man who thinks that they can. I mean, most of the main characters in this movie are women.
I'm raising my hands because I found out something crazy.
Tell us.
Daniel Waters wrote Heathers in 1988. His brother, Mark Waters, directed Mean Girls in 2004.
Whoa.
What the hell? That's so weird. He also directed Freaky Friday, so he's just a Lohan head. Wild.
Huh.
There you go, guys.
I mean, I don't feel like, to me, I don't think that the characters feel poorly written because they're written by a guy. Especially because it's like, I mean, they're not really like women. They're children.
Yeah. They're also caricatures.
Yeah.
They
and
are.
And it's not just the women that are caricatures. It's everyone in the movie is a caricature.
Right. And I think that that's why it ends up not really being a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a deeply honest depiction of literally anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think he sort of ends up being fine. Although I will say, if you look up a picture of him now, crazy comb over.
Oh, no.
Insane. Like, who are you kidding?
Oh, that's very unfortunate.
It's very bad. Daniel, what happened?
It's very long.
Oh, geez.
It's a very long,
not worth it.
Oh, boy. Oh, there's a bunch of really fun, yelly thesis statement kind of dialogue lines. And towards the end of this movie, every other thing Christian Slater says is like, okay, we get it. Like, you're a fucking angry young man. The society nods at any horror the American teenager thinks to bring upon itself. Like, grow up. And what else? Like, because the school is society, and like that, how everything's a fucking metaphor for it. It's very 10th grade English, the way he interprets the world. Yeah. And why I'm like, this is not a fucking Joyce Carol Oates short story, you nutbag.
But I love that it's him saying all this shit to a girl who's just looking at him like he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
Are you talking about? Like, if he was just saying that and we were just watching it, it would be, like, maybe not great. But when it's posed like that, where Veronica's just looking at him, like, realizing that he has been this idiot the whole time, is pretty powerful. What's the line, what do I, you know what I need, JD? Cool guys like you out of my life, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, I love that. I love the, like, yeah, you're a real cool guy, dude. Like,
he knows about convenience store snacks.
That's
like what gets Veronica to like him. She's like, you know, your convenience store speech.
Well, he's interesting because he's like been a lot of places.
Yeah, that's like
his motorcycle.
He's a little riffraff street rat. I like it.
Like, how old is he? He
nice
could be
Aladdin
college age.
Reference.
Thank you. I got convenience store food on my way over here, guys, when I was getting my Mike's Hard Lemonade. And I stopped at Silver Lake 7-Eleven. They know me there. And I ordered pizza so bad, they didn't make me pay for it. Because it looked disgusting, and it was disgusting. And he was like, on the house.
Take it.
Congratulations.
You look like you really need it.
I need it, yeah. He's like, you look hungry, my friend.
Going back to the relationship that Veronica and JD have, the way it starts is that, like, he just crawls into her window, having met her, I think, once before.
Like a prince from a fairy tale.
That, I was like, okay, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
I would have loved that.
Now, when you're a teenager, nothing is cooler than sneaking through a window.
Man, they do it in Gilmore Girls.
I think I had a very different high school experience than most people.
They do it in Gilmore Girls.
It also...
So...
My parents didn't dislike any of my high school boyfriends, so there was no window climbing. Also, we didn't have doors in my house for some reason, so window climbing would not have gone well.
Wait, you didn't have doors?
There were no doors. I mean, there was a front door and a back door, but no one's bedrooms had doors.
Oh, I see. Wait, even, like, doors to your bedrooms? There was, like,
no doors.
Open...
Bathrooms.
What? No doors. Bathrooms, there were doors, but they were broken. You had to jam something up against them to get privacy.
That is crazy.
I know. Especially because when my little brother did learn how to masturbate, he did not exercise any discretion.
Oh.
In spite of the fact that there were no doors.
So he would just be going at it and you'd walk past. And...
That was a hard summer for me. Like, it's my first summer back from college and my brother had hit puberty.
Why were there no doors in your house?
There were no doors. I don't know. I don't. There's to this day, there's no doors.
Wow.
There was no, I mean, my parents weren't fucking, so there were no doors. I don't know.
I'm baffled.
I don't know if anyone's ever had sex in my house.
I mean, I started to, like, pause to think about it. I'm like, why would I know the answer to this?
You're like, actually?
I've had sex in your house, Jamie. I've gone to. I met your mom. I was like, hey. Wait, what's her name again?
Jill.
I was like, hey, Jill. Do you mind if I come over and hang out? I didn't have sex with your mom, but I brought someone else over.
You had sex with someone.
And she did walk in on this because there are no doors. But
well, I got walked in on once in my house. My brother almost caught me, like, trying to lose my virginity.
Oh, wow.
And obviously we had to stop, and then he, like, threw up. he was so upset. I was just trying to lose my V card.
No more Remington parties for you.
No, my brother was, he was like, I just wanted a root beer. And then he threw up on the floor.
Oh, jeez.
I know. It's like, that's a little dramatic.
Jamie, this isn't insane. I need to talk to your parents about why there are no doors to bedrooms.
We were,
or
like,
anything.
In my living room because it didn't matter. There were no doors. You're trying to lose your virginity anywhere, and you're at equal risk.
Anyway, so he crawls through a door.
Oh, yeah.
And they play strip croquet. I don't know why croquet is such... Again, it's probably another, like... Maybe it's just a motif, or maybe
it's a
metaphor.
Don't they play croquet in Clueless?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, that's just like a thing that popular girls did. Seems to exist in a very specific period of movies.
Yeah, I certainly didn't relate to the croquet aspect.
Yeah, but it seemed to go with their jackets.
It totally worked with their outfits, for sure.
It did color coordinate.
That was what most of their decisions were based on, is what whatever went with their outfits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, what else do we say about this
movie? He goes into you never finish your thought about him going into
the
window.
I don't even know if I have anything else to say about it.
Okay.
Just that it was just jarring to me that he's introduced as this, like, cool, subversive guy who's, like, gonna take her out of this clique that she's in, and she doesn't have to be with these horrible Heathers anymore, and then that's not where the story goes at all. He helps her murder people that she doesn't like. I do like that the weird rapey jock guys get murdered, because I feel like they had it coming.
I like that, too.
I mean, we got to talk about, I love my dead gay son. That's a classic line.
That's a great line.
How beautiful that the dad accepts him in death.
In death. That was a fun one.
I like the nerd who spits out milk in almost every scene that he's in. Do you remember that guy?
I don't remember that.
But it's fun to hear.
You see it once whenever, like, the main Heather... The Red Heather? I'm going to call her the Red. I don't know their last names.
Shannon. That's Shannon Doherty.
No, that's...
That's the Red Heather.
No, not the Red-headed Heather.
Wears red.
Oh, the...
The red-wearing.
Alpha, the one that dies.
Yes.
Okay.
She's the one who left all her swatches.
Yes.
She wouldn't have done that.
She looks at this nerd guy, and then they make eye contact, and he spits out all his milk. And then it happens again later on. I forget what prompts him that time, but he just spews milk everywhere.
Was anyone else, like, really surprised in the first scene Christian Slater's in where you, like, fall in love with him in a very short amount of time, and then he has a gun?
Yeah.
And you're just like, whoa, this guy, he just said, like, all I need is tequila in my sacks. I'm like, I'm ready to marry him. And then he pulls out a gun.
And shoots two people, presumably dead, until the next scene when they're like, oh, he used blanks.
It's and that's just why she's always like, oh, he probably always used blanks.
Yeah, I guess.
I get it. I get it.
I think there's just too many moments like that where my disbelief cannot be suspended. I think that's another problem why I just, like, there are things about this movie I like, but I can't like it as a whole because of those few reasons. The characters, and then there's so many things I can't suspend my disbelief for. And yeah, it's a satire. It's a dark comedy. It's not meant to be taken so seriously, but I still don't enjoy watching it.
I think it's also tough if you are watching it for the first time now.
Yes, like, I am a grown-ass woman.
It's one of those things that, like,
she says, taking a swig of Hennessy.
I think there are certain things that you grow up with that you hesitate to always fully recommend to people because you're like, well, I have a very specific, like, I think about, like, I also loved the movie Ghost World, and so I always loved that movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would be like, you have to see Ghost World, where, even though I love it. It's like how I, you know, I love Soup Plantation, but I don't expect anyone else to. It's just because I grew up with it, you know?
Well, this movie is such, like, a cult.
But also, I think Heathers is good.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of like, okay, it's like I don't really feel affected when I watch Monty Python because I never was, like, a teenage boy who watched it.
So,
like,
yeah,
I'll never feel anything.
I've got a big old hard-on for Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I just, like, never watched it growing up, so yeah. I don't feel anything for it now. Like, I'm like, I can see objectively that, like, this is of value, but I don't connect to it.
I feel that way about Pee-wee's Playhouse, in that I'm like, I'm not going to make you watch Pee-wee's Playhouse, but, like, you should watch it.
Yeah.
I tried to watch, I got 30 seconds into it and had to shut it off. His voice is so grating.
Okay, shut up.
Are we about to not be friends anymore?
You just couldn't be more wrong, but it's fine. You're my friend and I accept it.
I mean, yeah, we all have movies that we like. I mean, I like the movie Stomp the Yard. Is it a good movie? No.
I love the movie. Do I love the Yard?
But there are movies that, like, if, like, I'm not mad at you for not liking Heathers. There are movies that I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
Sure.
There are
I guess with Heathers, it depends on, like, what point in your life it arrived to you.
Yeah. I also think when I took to the internet and most people were slaughtering me, a lot of people were like, okay, I can see it. Like, the time that it came out, it was sort of the first movie of its kind.
Yeah.
Like, there hadn't really been a dark teen comedy like that, I guess.
Are there
others
that you can point to afterwards? That's something I was thinking about, how you said that he didn't really make anything else afterwards. I wonder if people were not interested in more.
Well, I think, like we said, kind of alluded to before, like Mean Girls and Jawbreakers were influenced by Heathers, I imagine.
I mean, Mean Girls is, like, in so many ways, a copy of Heathers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
okay, wait, I'm looking for this status you made about Heathers because I would really, okay, can some, this is you, I'm sorry, I was about to say, can someone explain the movie Heathers to me? Why do people like it? Is there an extended metaphor that I'm missing? There's,
okay, that's probably how people read it. Here's how I meant it.
That's how I interpreted it.
I think that's how everyone interpreted it.
I did not like or comment.
It makes sense. I'm usually, like, very mean and snarky on my Facebook posts, but the way I actually intended it was, hey, guys, hey, friends.
So you meant it like,
I'm so sorry to bother you.
Can someone explain the movie Heathers to me? Why do people like it? Is there an extended metaphor I'm missing?
Exactly.
I would love to know.
But that's not how
people read it.
honestly.
Can you tell me how many wows it got?
Oh, how many? Just one. Just the one. One wow. 18 or 19 likes, which honestly, some people were on board with you. Slater sucks, said one person.
One person said the musical is fun. Didn't know there was a musical.
Oh.
There's one really
long. Probably didn't need to be, but.
There was no need to write multiple paragraphs about this movie, I will say.
Someone said you're wrong and you're being awful about it.
Oh my God!
Was their name Heather?
No, it was a man. It was a Boston comic who.
I guarantee I could beat him up and kill him using only my hands.
And make it look like a suicide.
Yeah,
exactly. Way to bring it on. Ooh, full circle, baby. I don't know. Lots of people seem to. People say it's funny.
It is funny. I laughed at moments. There's
interesting point. Three likes. It's funny.
Funny. There's good dialogue. Is it sloppily written? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I would have taken another pass at the screenplay. That's just me.
Oh, can I read something else you wrote?
Yeah.
But, like, in the way I interpreted it?
Sure.
Okay. So, a very nice, straight white man who we both know, a great guy, wrote out a very measured explanation of why he felt people liked Heather. And then you said, I mainly don't like it because, for me, there isn't a single likable or redeemable character in the whole movie. Like, maybe that's the point. And it's like, Caitlin, calm down.
Also,
this comment has no likes.
Yeah, people really did not care for me.
You keep going. I don't like most modern comedies. I do appreciate that this movie is dark and more subversive than most key cutter modern. This is fun.
I do sound like a fucking asshole.
But if you read anyone's Facebook comment that way, it would be fun. I'm going to start doing that just to keep myself honest about my thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, read it in that voice before you post it.
Something I've had fun doing is reading Bible verses really sarcastically. like they're super still, like reading Psalms, like, if you start any Psalm with,
actually,
it takes on a whole new meaning.
Cool. Well,
do you guys think ultimately that it does pass the Bechdel test?
Oh, it definitely passes.
Almost right
away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first scene with all the Heathers, it passes.
Yeah. It passes. Especially the first, in the first act, especially when they're all still hanging out a lot before people start dying, there's a bunch of scenes where it passes. They're talking. There's some where that women are talking, but it is about JD or someone. But they talk about all kinds of things. They talk about bulimia. They talk about the lunchtime poll. Which is
a classic. I did like the lunchtime poll. I remember seeing that in high school and being like, we should do that.
That seems fun.
The question that they pose, though, is so stupid. It's infuriating.
Oh, wait,
dumb.
I wrote it down. Because I was like, well, that's a pretty well thought out question for someone so young. you inherit $1 million 2 days before the aliens blow the world up. What do you do?
Yeah,
I think that I summarized
so
it.
So dumb.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
what would you do?
Oh, wait, I wrote down.
What is
have
that?
Everyone answer that question. Good
call. Oh.
Wait, the concept is that you win the money, but
you know the world's going to end and you have the money. So, Caitlin, I'll pose it to you first because I just read all your Facebook statuses very rudely. You inherit $1 million 2 days before aliens blow the world up and, like, you know that the world's going to blow up in 2 days. What do you do with it?
First of all, it's $5 million.
Is it?
Sorry to be a heinous bitch.
I'm
about
sorry.
It.
I was in a bus station.
What is your damage? Wow.
Oh my God.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
What is it?
I guess with only 2 days to live. I don't know. I would just kill myself knowing that things would
you
wouldn't
try
be-
to save everyone from the aliens?
Oh, that hadn't even occurred to me.
Wow, I'm such
a
good person.
I guess if, like, with $5 million, that was somehow enough resources to stop the aliens, sure, I would do that. But if it's, like, if certain death is coming, I would just get it over with right away. And or maybe I'd be like, hey, does anyone want to commit a murder? And then you can frame it as my suicide if you want.
Paige, what would you do?
I don't know. I mean, like, what can you really do of value? Because it's like, you know, you want to say, like, you'd give it to charity or whatever, but it's like, charity can't
there's
do anything with it in 2 days. Like, you, like, are you going to feed the hungry? Like, they're just going to die anyway. Mm. Like, I guess you try and maybe give people some sense of joy before they die.
That sounds nice.
But, like, how do you do that? Like,
that's
you're
why
just
such
one
a dumb
high
question.
Schooler.
What would you do, Jamie?
I would invest it all and then be like, guys, we should really invest in these companies as a joke.
Nice.
Because I would know what they don't know.
I think it's her former friend, Betty Finn. Poor Betty Finn. Mm. I feel so bad
Betty
for her.
Betty Finn is that like the character in Freaks and Geeks, who's her
yeah,
old friend. Like,
yeah.
I really, man.
Yeah. I've been on both sides of that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we all have.
Yeah.
Man.
That's
people grow out
like.
Of each other. It's sad.
Yeah. It's gross.
And that's like high school, I feel like, is the primary time for that.
Why
just,
can't
like,
we just
you don't know who you are.
Cling together forever, regardless of whether we like each other or not.
You can only do that if you're in band.
I don't understand. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we got to bring up your oboe. That's another thing that we have to talk about every
episode.
I was
talking to one of my band friends today. Sent her a letter in the mail. Said, you still play the clarinet? As a joke. I know she doesn't.
Yeah. That's nice, though. You reached out.
Yeah. Can I read a psalm?
Yes. Oh, but the reason I brought up Betty Finn is that the answer she gives is to just, like, spend the money on throwing a big, like, bash right before everyone dies. And that's probably
She's
the best
so cool.
way
Which is, yeah.
to do it. I mean, if you're all going to die, just, like, have fun.
There was nothing, and maybe this is, like, reductive of me, but I was like, there was nothing, like, that looked wrong with her. She seemed like a normal, I don't know.
Yeah.
Really sad.
She even
like,
knows
yeah,
how to play croquet.
Definitely nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
She just is
just
like
a normal gal.
Yeah. She just isn't like cool in the right way.
Right. Yeah. There's just something missing. Poor Betty.
I know.
She lived.
But also she's fine.
Yeah.
Ultimately not poor Betty.
She probably grew up to be, you know, she has a PhD now.
Yeah, she didn't have any crazy traumatic experiences because she wasn't trying to be cool.
She's a woman in STEM now. And it's wild because we need more of those.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I just wanted to...
But you're reading a psalm? Is that how you say it?
A psalm, yeah.
I've never been to church.
It's actually a poem. No, I'm sorry.
The S is silent. Is there anything else we need to talk about before I read a psalm? Maybe this will be a fun new way to close the show.
Yeah.
Let's all hold hands and close our eyes and read this psalm.
Please not ever again, but this time I permit you.
Okay. Just if we all calm down a little bit.
Impossible, but okay.
And we're going to pray really quick. Okay. So. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I will fear no evil. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's great.
In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you so much.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do we need to cover anything else? We concluded that it does pass the Bechdel test a bunch of different times.
For sure, yeah.
So yay on that.
But it's just a confusing movie in general to analyze. It's a tricky one.
Well, it's
but I like it.
I mean, because it's like, you know, it portrays these girls realistically, but it's not in a nice way. So that's tough. Like, obviously, ideally, you want something that portrays women behaving maturely and cool.
I think it portrays certain aspects of certain people realistically, but the characters still are so, they're pretty one-dimensional. And so
there's
definitely
like an uncanny valley of like everyone's bad traits, regardless of gender, come out way faster and way like in a more obvious way than it would in real life. But
well,
I don't know. It's like not really a gender issue in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just
people
are terrible.
High schoolers are dumb.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
They suck.
Sorry if we have any high school fans.
Shout out to high schoolers.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
If you're listening to this, then you are cool.
What the fuck is up?
Yeah.
DM us.
You got a lot to look forward to.
You got a lot of life to live, my friends.
Yeah, tweet at us.
Tweet.
Anyway.
Tweet and fave. Thank you, high schoolers.
Thanks.
So, once again, Paige, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love talking about Heathers.
We conclude each episode by rating the movie in the context of its portrayal of the women in it.
Mm. Ooh. Boy, do we.
Do we. We do.
This is a hard one.
It's a really hard one. And my judgment is going to be clouded because I just don't really like this movie.
And because you've had some Hennessy.
And... Yeah.
Mm. Well, not that much. I finished my mics hard.
Oh,
but,
good.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I'm going to give it 2.5 stars, and here's why.
Two and a half what?
Oh my God! What? I'm drunk off of Hennessy.
Drunk on the Henny. Oh, it's a mid 2000s rap song.
Stars.
That's when Hennessy raps were at the top.
We rate it on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples. Nipples. I'm so sorry,
and then
everyone.
We describe the nipples. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
2.5 because I like that it's like a movie about women and the women are the driving force largely, but I just don't like any of them. But so I feel very conflicted. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind later, but right now it's 2.5 nipples. Two of them belong to, I think his name is Ram. One of the football jocks. Very, very, very small, tiny nipples.
Great name for a high school jock.
And then the other one belongs to Christian Slater. The other half nipple is Christian Slater's.
Nice.
And it's smooth and it's nice.
Nice.
Wow. Okay. I guess it is tough to rate because they are children, not really like women, but so I guess I would, even though I love this movie, I would probably give it like 3 nipples. Mm-hmm. But they're like, it's like when they're like brown, like nice nipples.
Good.
Nice. Yeah.
I give it 3 nipples and 1 psalm.
Okay.
Can I say what the psalm is?
You can.
I just want to do another. Okay. Okay. My soul waits for God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Trust in him at all times, O people. Power and love belong to God. In Jesus we pray. I give it 3 nipples. They all belong to the dad who's proud of his gay son.
Oh, I want mine to belong to the dad who says, I don't patronize bunny rabbits.
Oh, I forgot about that dad.
Remember that?
Wait,
That's Veronica's dad.
Mm-hmm. Veronica's parents, we did not talk about. They are, what is going on
they
with
them? They are whiffs. They have no personality.
I like when.
Just a blank slate.
When her mom thinks that Veronica has committed suicide and she walks in, the first thing she says is, I wish I'd let you get that job at the mall. Or and I'm just like, really? This is how you're reacting to the. That's the other thing. No one reacts in a way that I can believe at all. Like, no one is
it
devastated
is
by or feeling guilt about having committed these murders. It's just insane to me.
Yeah, it's weird that it's like elevated to like, oh, the Heathers are everything. But then one of them dies and like no one cares. But
that's the point.
That's the point.
In a way.
Everyone's just like, who's going to be the new one?
Right. Like,
she wasn't important.
Who
that status was important.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Maybe that's why they're all named Heather.
Whoa.
It's like, it doesn't really matter who you are as an individual. It just matters that you are a Heather. Deep.
I love it.
I'm very smart.
I love it.
I'm sweating. Gang. It's so hot.
It's really warm in here.
I'm sweating too, yeah.
I think that it's time to go. I don't know.
You made it sound like we're about to sing a song. Like,
a psalm?
Not a psalm. I think we've done enough psalms for today. Yeah. Unless you'd like another, I've got more.
Let's save it for next time. I think I'll let another one happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww. Okay.
Hey, Paige, is there anything you want to plug or where can people find you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at Paige Weldon, and you can visit my website, thehiggsweldon.com. We have fun comedy articles and stuff, and we have a show at the Improv Lab February 20th at 10 p.m.
Yeah!
Super!
Love it.
You can follow us at Bechdelcast on Twitter. You can write to us via email.
Has anyone ever done that?
Not yet.
Okay.
So I really encourage people to email us at TheBechdelCast@gmail.com.
Just about anything.
About anything.
Anything you want.
And then we also have a Facebook.
Yeah, we do.
You can check that out and like it. So there you go.
All right, guys. Keep reading that Bible and keep doing the right thing.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.